that comes from this short Divrei Torah, Shabbos Lezechon Nishmas, Sorachaya LaShalom, Vasar Yosef, Poskim B'Kavod Achsanya, to take the time to speak about what Agudas Yisrael does for Klal Yisrael in so many ways. Would take a lot longer than the time allotted. But Minyani Dioma, specifically tonight's Divrei Chizuk, I think it's so appropriate, Lemei Hadin. We're going to say in the Tfilos again many times throughout the Yom HaKodesh, Yom HaKippur, Ki Al Rechmecha Anu Batuchim, that we are confident, we are Batuach, we are sure that we're going to be Zocha to the Eibush's Rachamim. And the question is that how do we know that? We were Chayte, we sinned. How could we say with Batuach Anu Batuchim that we're going to be Zocha to the Eibush's Rachmanis? So the Alto of Kem explained, Enochanami, for a yachid, for an individual, we wouldn't be able to say it. We can't say that we're betuchen, that we're boteach. But when it comes to a rabbim, who are working together, who are davening together, who are mechazik each other, who are learning together, working on each other, working together in avodas Hashem, in avodas HaKodesh, then we can clearly be boteach, anu betuchim in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmanis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed that he's going to do for Klal Yisrael. And therefore, this particular evening and the few different sessions that will be taking place are something that's extremely special because it's together, and together we could be Zocheh Bez Hashem Batuach in the Rachmanis and the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each year I look forward to something unique, something special, a new approach that would be able to both motivate me and therefore motivate my Balabatim and the people that I speak to, to be able to put him in the perspective, the proper perspective of the Mei Hadin. And usually I find the Chazal, a Medrash, something that I think is appropriate. And this year it came from really the strangest of places. I had to be last week in Toronto to speak at a certain event, and it was a Rav who shared an absolutely incredible Maaseh that took place last year with the Gadol Hador Maran, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zechon Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, who unfortunately Klal Yisrael lost such a treasure this past year. But an incredible insight, not from Rav Aaron Leib, but from something that took place in the home, by the home of Rav Aaron Leib. It was right before Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashiva was already very weak, and his door was not open to the public as it used to be. But people wanted to go in before Rosh Hashanah to get a bracha. Klal Yisrael was full of Nitzrachim. There's so many needs that people have. To go get a bracha from the Rosh Hashiva, from the Gadol Hador, is something that was so important, so precious to everyone there. And people began to line up outside the little home in Rehov Chazon Nish Chamesh, and people lined up on the stairs and around the block, and there were hundreds of people waiting in the hot sun, waiting to get in to see the Rosh Hashiva. And there was a person who was patiently waiting and waiting quite a long time until it came to his turn, and he was right by the door of the apartment. And the next wave, when people would come out, he would be the first one to go in, finally, after such a long wait. And all of a sudden, a person comes barreling through, pushing everybody away, knocks on the door. The door is opened up by Baron Leib's grandson, and he sees him, says, come right in. He comes in, and he closes the door. And this person was enraged. This person was sensed, waited so long in the hot sun, waiting to get in my turn, and now all of a sudden someone just comes in running and knocks on the door and gets in. And a little while later, the door opens, and the person is about to go in, and he says, I don't understand. It's not right what you did. Not menschlich, not ehrlich. I'm waiting and waiting. You take someone in who didn't even wait online. So the person answered, do you know who that person was who knocked on the door, didn't wait, and came right in? He says, no. He says, that was the Rosh Hashiva's doctor, Aaron Leib's doctor. Okay, it was his doctor. He says the Rosh Hashiva was very weak this morning and asked us to call his doctor to come and to check his blood pressure to see if he's okay. But I want to explain to you, the person told him, why the doctor comes in without having to wait. Because you, along with all the other hundreds of people that are waiting online, they are all coming here for the same purpose because you and they all need Rav Aaron Leib. And if you have to wait online because he can't see everyone at one time. But the doctor wasn't coming because he needed Rav Aaron Leib. Rav Aaron Leib needed him. And in that category, there was no line. There was no one else, just him. And that's why he went to the front of the line. When I heard this, I said, Mavar al Haraya. What an insight. What a new, fresh approach. The person to stand by Tekiah Shofar, to stand by Kol Nidre, to stand by Ne'ilah. And we stand here every year, and we all have Nitzrach, and we all have needs. We all have Shaduchim to make. We all have Panasa. We all have children to be born. We all have Shalom Bayis issues. We have so many things in Klai Yisrael, Ruben Tzarchi Amcha. And we come with the same packle every year to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we get online, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everyone, Yalok HaBnei Mary, and everyone is judged individually. But how do we get to that front of the line? What can we do to have a little bit of a heads up on everybody else? And the answer is that we're not coming for ourselves. We need the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're coming right now because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me. He needs me to Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. He needs me to go B'halach to Bedrachav. He needs me to go ahead and to provide comfort that Shechin to Begalusa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me. I'm here for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is something that you go to the front of the line. And for that, once you're at the front of the line, a person can ask, but we get in because it's the different approach that we're coming. We're standing at HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we're here to serve you. This is what you want me to do. You need me to do this. You need me to Mekadosh Shem Shamayim Barabim, and that's what I'm here for. And that's my commitment this particular Yom Nerayim, and that's what every Yid's commitment should be, and how the world will change, and how the future of our brachos and all the things that we want, sahavtachos, they want from the Eibushter, will come through this coming year. Someone shared with me a Murray de Gamaisa, a Kapishin to Rebbe. Rabbi Yisrael Besser, dear friend, heard this Maisa from a Meir Zlatowitz, Zachanu Levracha, that the Kapishin to Rebbe, Rabbi Ram Yeshua Herschel, used to have a chabur they used to go bake matzahs with every Pesach. And he would go there to the matzah baking, and of course, he was a person who was such an oyev chesed, and he would, after the baking of the matzahs, he would make sure to give each worker that was there a significant tip for their efforts. And there was one particular person who looked extremely destitute. Clothes were ripped and tattered, and the Kashbishan Rebbe gave him a very, very nice tip. And he thanked him profusely, and he left. Kashbishan Rebbe comes back on the Erev Pesach to bake matzahs, Erev Pesach matzahs after Chatzos, came with one or two of his chassidim, of his balabatim. And he comes there again, and he bakes his matzahs, and on the way out, he goes to this person, and again, he gives him a very shena tip, a very nice tip. And the person protested and said, the Rebbe had shown Yotze Gaven. The Rebbe was already Yotze. He already gave me. And the Rebbe looked at him and said an incredible statement. He said, Ich bin nicht gekommen auf der Welt, Yotze zu sein. I didn't come down to this world just to fulfill my obligations. Came to this world to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work. Mahu racham, mafato racham, mahu chanon, nafato chanon. We came to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm here for. To Yotze Gaven, that's not why I came here. And therefore, you may have been Yotze giving you a tip, but it doesn't stop me, prevent me to continue doing what I need to do. And this is the fundamental obligation that a Yid has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how do we achieve that? How does a person achieve to be able to live for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fascinating machlekes. We know that in the mitzvah in Parashas Emor of Nikdashti Basok B'nei Yisrael, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, every Yid is supposed to be Mekadosh Shem Shamayim. I feel not to less nafsha. Even a person has to give his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an obligation. And there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim whether a person is supposed to make a bracha when he's ready to give up his life, HaKadosh Hashem, does one make a bracha? The Shulchan Aruch says, of course one makes a bracha. Like any divine mitzvah, you make a bracha. But the Truvas HaRajba and some of the other Rishonim, Megos Maim, and the others say that one does not make a bracha. And they compare it to mitzvah of Kedushin, mitzvah of Tzedakah, that we don't make a bracha even though it's a mitzvah daraisa, because you want to give tzedakah, you make a bracha, and by that time the ani may go away. You want Kedushin, maybe the woman won't accept it. And therefore, we don't make a bracha on something that's totally biyad acher. So therefore, begs the question, how does the Shalom understand why you would make a bracha here? If a person, a goy, Rachman's son's about to kill a yid, and the yid's going to make the bracha, maybe the goy will change his mind. Maybe your guy will run away. Maybe he'll be afraid. And therefore, the same concept should apply, but that stakan applies back to Shin should apply here as well. So why does the Shalom HaKadosh hold that you make a bracha in this particular case? And the Achronim give different answers to this, but a fascinating answer and insight from Moshe Weiss in a Sefer Minchas Asher. Moshe Weiss says, really bad sin, this bracha was Mekuyim Zayin. Because when this Yid had his mind made up, it was Meschavim to be give his Moshe Napshu HaKedosh Hashem, it doesn't make a difference whether he ended up dying, whether he lost his life or didn't lose his life. He came to that moment where his Chol Libo, his entire heart, his entire mind, his entire Ruach, his entire Neshama, was ready to give himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a great level, in such a tremendous depth. And Memela, at that point, that's Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. You did something completely for Kav Yachol, completely for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give up yourself, whether the last end, Makom HaPatish, whether actually the person lost his life, is insignificant. That's not what it was. What he accomplished is what the maximum level that a person could reach. And for that, you make a bracha. The person was able to make Kad Hashem Shamayim. This is the obligation that a person has. And it's for every single year, no matter where a person is holding, no matter what a year did this year, no matter how many Averis he did, no matter how far away he was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is never a distance that a person will go that he can't turn around and come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come back in such a tremendous way, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a deep way. The Medrash says on the Pasuk in Tehillim HaMatzeach B'nei Korach Mizmar. The Chazal say, where's B'nei Korach? Where was B'nei Korach? Where were they? Where it says they were Yoshev al Pisco Shel Gehenim. They were sitting on the Pesach Shel Gehenim. And they were the Pesach Shel Gehenim, and they did tshuva, and they came back. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. Question, of course, is why do we have to know that they sat on Pesach Shel Gehenim? What is the importance to know that? Do we know that they were sinned, they were part of Korach V'Hadassah, and they did tshuva? Why is it necessary for Chazal to tell us that they sat on Pesach Shel Gehenim? So the Lakewood Rosh Hashiva Rav Shneur Kato Zichron Levracha said there's a specific reason why Chazal tell us that. To teach us, to teach Klal Yisrael, the Dori Doros, that no matter where a person is, no matter how far you are, you could be mikotze lekotze. You could be at the Pesach Shel Gehenim. No further, it's not possible to be any further than to be able to come to the Kakas Kafei Hashchina, to be able to come close to the Kisei HaKavod. You're at the other end of the universe, the other end of the world, the other extreme end of the world. You're at the Pesach Shel Gehenim, and yet, the Harif Ayin, with the Machshava of Tshuva, they were able to come back all the way to be able to do Tshuva, to be Zocha. The Bnei Bana Shel Korach, Lama Torah, they were learning Torah, they became Gedolim, they became future Tanoim, and Anshei Elokim, because that's the power, potential of a Yid, to be able to come back no matter where he is, no matter where he spent the entire year. We find this also in a Pasuk in Tehillim, the fascinating Pasuk. The Pasuk in Tehillim in Membeis, Pasuk Aleph, Ka'ayil Taro Galafike Mayim. We tell a person, just as a deer longs for the brook of water, so too, Kenafshi Tara Gelecha Elokim, my soul, my neshama, longs for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean, Ka'ayil Tarog? How do we understand that? Again, the Mefarshim explain, Ayil is a male deer, a zachar, and Tarog is an akeva, a female deer. And what Mefarshim explain, what the depth of what David HaMelech is saying, is that when there is a shortage of water, there is a drought, and the other deers, the other animals have nothing to drink, they all turn to the deer. They turn to the female deer. Because the female deer is something unique that when she is in a birthing position, when she's giving birth, the pain that she goes through is suffering, the agonizing pain is the worst pain of any animal in the entire kingdom, animal kingdom. And she is suffering excruciating pain. And then there's a drought. They come to her in this particular time. They come to the Tarog when she's in the most unbelievable amount of pain, and they ask her to daven, to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for some water. And what she does is she puts away her feelings, puts away her pain, her own personal pain, and she becomes like an ayil, like an ayil Tarog. She becomes like a male deer that doesn't have any pain, doesn't feel the pain. And she goes and she davens for the other animals to be able to have water. So too, Elokim, a person could be mulei tzar, and Mali with pain and struggles and concerns, and this puts everything away and longs only for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's mispal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the skin to this Begulusa should be zoka to come back to Yerushalayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should have again a Mikdash Ma'at, and a Kavod Shemayim should again be restored the way Kadosh Baruch Hu had intended in the beginning of the world, in the beginning of the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and the time of the Nevi'im, the time of the Yavos, and the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Gilu Shechina, that a person, Ka'ayot Tara, Kainav, that's the way a Yid, no matter how far, no matter how difficult life is, no matter how many struggles we have the ability to turn in the midst of those struggles and turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such a profound way, and Nashi Taru Galech Elokim, to turn back to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting, I once heard from the Mashkiach, Elder Mashkiach, Meshiva Tarvadas, Yishib Maruch Yom Tov, Mashalim, and Moshe Wolfson, said an incredible insight to really a very, very, very simple question. We know that we have the mitzvah of Shlosh Regalim, going up Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, to Eretz Yisrael, to Beis HaMikdash, to celebrate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Hashanah is a time of Malchus. We proclaim the Malchus Melech Malki Elohim. It's a time that we proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Wouldn't it be appropriate to go to the Pamalia Shemelech? Shouldn't we have a mitzvah or a regal to go to the palace of the king, to go to the Mokom HaMikdash, to go to the Harabayas, to go to the Kodesh Kadoshim, and to proclaim the Malchus, the Pamalia Shemelech? Why is there no mitzvah of a regal on Rosh Hashanah? And Rav Moshe Wolfson explained, because it's not the avoda of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Avoda of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, in the words of the Navi, Dirshu Hashem Bimatzo. We don't have to go to Yerushalayim, to the Mokom HaMikdash, to the Beis HaMikdash, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us. In this time of the year, there's no need for a pilgrimage, no need for it to go all the regal to Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to wherever Yid is, in any place where you are. Rizokha this year, to celebrate together with Shalom Ravashkin in his freedom and listen to his talks of where he was, but Mama Pisco Shal Gehenna, he was in the place of the worst place that a Yid can find himself, Rachman al Islan, and yet he was able to celebrate Yom Tov, to celebrate Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu went with him. And this is why the minig comes down, the minig on Rosh Hashanah, the Chazan shouts HaMelech, not from the Amid, not from the Bima, from the Amid, but from wherever he's standing in Shul. Symbolizing this fact is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes, the Melech comes to wherever a person is, wherever he is. We have the opportunity, no matter where a Yid finds himself, Berucho, Bemocho, Belibo, wherever a Yid finds himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is available for us to come into Mechazik us, to be the Melech Aleinu, and to be able to, we should be able to feel that experience and that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be Mekabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is something that in any format, in any, whatever frame of mind we are in, this is our responsibility. One of the most incredible and forgettable haspedim that Rav Michael Zilber Shlita gave on the Mir Rosh Hashiva and Nesen Tzvi Finkel Zechon HaTzadik Levracha, he said an incredible idea. We say in the Al-Khet, we're going to repeat again and again in the first Al-Khet, Al-Khet Shechatanu Lefanecha Ba'oines HaVeratzo. And many of the Mephoshim asked, what's the idea of the Chet Ba'oines? We know there's a rule, Ones Rechman Apatre. A person's an Ones, a person is not responsible. A person is Patre. If he does something Ba'oines, you're not responsible. Shogeg, you are, you have to bring a korban. But Meisid, you're chayev. But Ba'ones, the Torah paters. So why do we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha Ba'oines? And Rav Michael said, because if one focuses on the life of Rav Nosson Tzvi, where clearly his everything that he did, he had an Oines, he was, the Torah would have parted him from anything possible, any Devar Hashem, any Avoda, because of the physical condition that he in, the suffering that he had. And Amela, that's a tshuva to our Shaila. Because looking at Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, observing those who were able, Zoka Zoka, to observe him, and to watch that every breath was a struggle, every step was a struggle, and yet he persevered and he continued, then onus no longer becomes a heter, no longer becomes a patur for a person. There's no such thing as a person can't achieve what he needs to achieve. Yes, certain mitzvahs you can't do, certain things you're allowed to do because onus rachmana patre, but to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to strive and dedicate your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, onus itself is not going to patre a person. He's the mechayev. And thus, since he was mechayev each and every one of us, all of his generation, the whole dor, to be able to go ahead and to picture and to understand what the level of our responsibilities are. And this is something that we find in Chazal again and again in many, many places. The Rambam says incredible quotes from the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that of the Asoru Gemalchus of Hananya ben Tradion, who suffered one of the worst, most horrible deaths that we read about in the Musaf on Yom Kippur and on the Kinos on Tisha B'Av. Asoru Gemalchus suffered incredible and painful Yisurim. Yet the Gemara says, the Rambam brings down, that he didn't go into Olam Haba. He wasn't zeichet to his place in Olam Haba, tachas kisei hakavod, because of his masa nafshu akidush Hashem. The reason why he was zocha, because of one mitzvah, they took upon himself to perform completely the Shema for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without any personal negias, personal hana, no benefit whatsoever. It was done completely the Shema HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that earned him a place in the Kisei HaKavod, a place in Gan Eden, Takas Kisei HaKavod, even more than giving himself up HaKadosh Hashem in such a way that we could record the pain. We read about it twice a year, in the most specific days, the most important days of the year. Read how terrible and how painful and how tragic it was 2,000 years later. But that wasn't the greatest schus. The schus was that there was a yid named Rachinim ben Tradin, was able to do something completely the shame Hashem. And this was the nisayon that Avraham Avinu himself had. The Medrash tells us, Medrash Pliya, that said that Achad Verma Eila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after Avraham had Yitzchak, gave birth to Yitzchak, he made a bris milah for him, and he made a suda gedola. So the Sutton came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and said, with a taina, and said, look, he made a whole suda, he invited the entire world, but he didn't bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't bring you a carbon. What good is he? What good is Avraham? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Medrash says, answered him, what he did, he didn't do for himself, but he did it for his son. And he is so dedicated to me that if I would now ask him to go and to bring up his son as an Akedah as Yitzhak, as a Korban Hashem, he would do so without any question. And once he said that, the Satan challenged the Eibishtun, and he Akad Vameela, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram to bring Yitzhak and the Akedah. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to the Satan? What was the HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him? Well, Maisa, Sutton had a taina. He made this huge festive suda. You made a great nace for him at the age of 100. He had a child. How come he didn't bring you a carbon? What was the answer to that? And the answer to that, shot in the Medrash, is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to the Sutton, that Avraham Avinu, whatever Avraham Avinu did, he didn't do for himself. Because whatever Avraham Avinu did, he did kulo for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll show you, I'll give him the ultimate test, the ultimate nisayon, to go in HaKadosh Yitzchak, and I'll show you that therefore whatever he did, he may not have brought me a carbon, but the entire mishta, the entire longing for a child, and everything that Avraham did in his life, by the time he was makir the bari the oilam, at 3 years old, or at 4 years old, or 40 years old, according to the opinion of the Rambam, it was completely for living, serving for HaKadosh Baruch Hu with no personal negia, with no personal benefit. And that was Avram, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Satan, you think because he didn't bring me a carbon, he's not focused on me, he's not dedicated to me. I'll show you that he's dedicated beyond that it'll be zoka to be the father of Klai Yisrael, the Dori Doros, and be zoka to the Brisbane Absorah. To be able to give oneself in such a way, how does a person do that? How does a person live in this world? The Yetzirah is so powerful. The Yetzirah is so strong. It pulls the people away so much from Avodas Hashem. What is the way that we can focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I heard many, many years ago in the house of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I heard it from his son, his youngest son, Zichron Livracha, who passed away tragically. He told me that his father used to say constantly, he used to tell over the story, when the Kapishnitz Rebbe, Ravram Yeshua Heschel, Zichron Livracha, came to Eretz Yisrael, who was already a Zaken, and he came to visit Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his home. And after the visit, he came down the stairs, and a cab was coming to pick him up. Rav Shlomo Zalman came down the stairs with him, was waiting with him, but he was already a Zaken, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was concerned it was difficult for him. Rav Shlomo Zalman brought a chair for him to sit until the cab would come. And the Rebbe refused to sit, and Rav Shlomo Zalman insisted that he sits. And finally, the Rebbe explained. He said, my father taught me that I have to imagine in every situation that I am being in this world, that whatever I do, katan, a maisa gadol, that I'm being photographed, and a picture is being shown in Shamayim, displayed in Shamayim. How will it look in Shamayim that I am sitting down, and the Gadol HaDor of Shlomo Zalman, who, by the way, was 30 years younger than the Rebbe, is standing while I'm sitting down. How will that picture look? Yes, I'm tired, and yes, I could use to sit down, and yes, it would be helpful to me, but the picture of seeing myself, that picture is being shown in Shemayim, of me sitting, and the Shlomo Zalman, the Gadol HaDor, sitting, standing, would be something that would be unacceptable. And therefore, he couldn't do it. Rav Shlomo Zalman was so moved and touched by this that Rav Shlomo Zalman repeated this to his family again and again for many, many, many years. And I heard it from his son. The understanding that a person can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of him, can picture him, can become close to him by thinking before we do things. Mekatan v'agadol, especially in these Yimei Nifloim, Yimei Noroim, to be able to think of before we do something, how would this look in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When the picture is displayed in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how will it look? That's something that's important for us to be able to understand, that it's just something that we cannot do. And if we focus on it and we understand, then this is something we can. We have to, Yimei HaPachad, we have to be afraid. But what does Pachad mean? Pachad in these days, there are two types of Pachad, the Talmidim of Yisrael Salanter tells us. There's the Pachad, a Meridik Pachad of the deer in the headlights. A person's paralyzed and frozen by the Pachad. But the second type of Pachad is a person, a father is walking and he sees a fire in his home and his son is hanging from the window. And he runs in a pocket. It gives him superhuman strength to run into the fire building that's on flame to go and to save his son. It's the same as pocket, but a pocket that gives him unbelievable strength and ability to accomplish instead of a paralyzing fear. That's the pocket of Yimei HaDin that we have to be able to tap into. A pocket of being able to get unbelievable strength, of focusing our attention that we're like the doctor of Shlomo Zalman, Aaron Leib needed him. That Kadosh Baruch Hu needs us, and we're coming to Kadosh Baruch Hu not because we need you, but of course we need you, but first we're here because you need us. You need us to serve, you need us to Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, to do things for you. And Mimela, that gives us a tremendous sense to go to the front of the line, in front of all of Klal Yisrael that's waiting and waiting. And that clue conclude with something that I think is an important thing to focus on. It's difficult. We start thinking of the challenges of living for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving our lives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a frightening, overwhelming perspective. How can we do something like that? All we need to do is to start. There was an 8-year-old child, and I conclude with this, an 8-year-old child that was diagnosed, Rachman Al-San, with cancer. And he had only a little time left to live, and he asked his mother that he wanted to be able to make a seam on Mishnayos Brachos before he leaves this world. And the mother hired a Rebbe, and he would come and spend the time with him during the day when he was very weak, and he had a few moments a day he was able to learn. And he finished the first parak, the second parak, and finally finished the second to the last parak, and he was so looking forward, he told his mother, I have one more parak to go, and I'm going to make a big siyum, invite everyone to come to the siyum. But unfortunately, that night, he passed away. He was nifter. At the Levaya the next day, one of the maspitim got up and said, tremendous, unbelievable thing, that there is going to be tomorrow a siyum in Shemayim. A siyum in Shemayim and Abish to be learning the last parak with this child. And Rav Bach, Zichrono Livracha, stood up and said, that's not the lesson that we have to learn from here. The lesson to be learned from here is that this bachur, this boy, started the Mishnayos. He didn't know if he'll be able to finish. He didn't know if he'll get to finish even parak, the first parak. He wasn't even sure he'll get to finish the first Mishnah. But he went in and started anyway. That was his dream and that was his wish. And he started. And he continued every single day, little by little. He didn't get to finish, but even though he probably knew he'll never get to finish, but he started anyway. That's the lesson to be learned. We're standing Yimei HaDin. We want to be like that doctor. We want to be it. It's like Yebishter needs us, and we go to the front of the line. It's frightening. It's overwhelming. It's pachad, but we have the strength to do it. All we need to do is not to look for the end goal, but just to be able to say that we started. And this is the time to start. And he's Yimei HaDin. And Be'ez Hashem B'Zocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see that we started. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not only take us to the front of the line, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us all our wishes and all our brachos for ourselves, for Klal Yisrael. B'Zocha, V'Ovdim B'Yeretz Asher, B'Shtach V'La Hashem, HaKadosh B'Yerushalayim. Amen. A good Geben Shiur to all.